Hallelujah. See, and even surely, listen to today, the title of today is Trust God, Give Him Something to Do. That's how you trust God. Oh, by the way, shalom, shalom, all of you. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, part A, the very first part says, is anything too hard for the Lord? And that was, the Lord was asking that question. Because he wanted to know why Sarah was laughing when he said she was going to have a baby. Yeah, my husband's 100 years old. I'm 99. Whatever, you know, I'm 90. What's going on here? You know, we're 99 at the time. So what do you think about that? And then he says, why did you laugh? She wasn't even around, but he heard. He read her thoughts. He didn't have to. See, he knows what we think. But is anything too hard for the Lord? He asked there. And in Jeremiah 32:27, he says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Sounds like he said that back in Genesis at the beginning. Now he's there through prophet Jeremiah saying the same thing. Well, the answer, it's obvious. There's nothing too hard for God. Amen. And since that is true, we might as well put our faith in what he can do. See, we need to quit putting limitation on what God said and what he can do. We got to quit that. Got to quit letting the doubt in. Quit letting the unbelief enter into these heads of ours. Because that's where it comes in at. Comes in through the head. But in Luke chapter 8, this is about the young synagogue ruler, Jairus, and his plea for help for his dying daughter. It says, and there came a man, this is verse 41, and this is the Amplified Classic, by the way. And there came a man named Jairus, who had, for a long time, been a director of the synagogue. And falling at the feet of Jesus, he begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, though, the people pressed together all around him. That's almost suffocating him. Now, I'm not going to read in between, but he got delayed here for quite some time with the lady with the issue of blood. So we're going to pick back up in verse 50. Now, Jesus is still talking to the crowd and them. Because it says, verse 49, while he was still speaking, a man from the house of the director of the synagogue came and said to Jairus, your daughter is dead. Do not weary and trouble the teacher any further. But Jesus, on hearing this, he answered him, do not be seized with alarm or struck with fear. The reason I went to Amplified Classic Edition, it's the only one that says this. Simply believe. He says, simply believe in me is able to do this. Do what? what he had asked. And she shall be made well. He didn't let him get into speaking any words of doubt or unbelief. Stopped him right there. See, that's what we are. We can hear, because Jesus wants to tell us every time, don't get into unbelief. Because he knows, he reads your mind. He reads your mind. It says, and when he had came to the house, he permitted no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's mother and father. And all were weeping for and bewailing her. But he said, do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing full well that she was dead. The coroner pronounced her dead. Yeah. Basically, yeah, all them quarters knocked her back. She's dead. And Jesus grasped her hand. And he called, saying, child, arise from the sleep of death. And her spirit returned from death. And she arose immediately, and he directed that she should be given something to eat. And her parents were amazed. But he charged them to tell no one what had occurred. And there was reasons for it. But they aren't going to be able to hold that back in. Neither is the whole community. Especially all them corners back there. That girl lived a long life and was satisfied, I believe. She was touched by Jesus. Now, we all know that God can. But many ask the question, is he willing? Is he willing to do for me what I'm asking? When you're talking to God, your prayer time, and you're asking him, yeah, you know he can do it. But is he willing? Well, that's answered in Matthew chapter 8, verses 2 and 3. And a leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. But Jesus, here he is. He stretched out his hand. Hadn't said a word yet. He already reached out his hand and he touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. When we are on our knees talking to Jesus, have faith knowing he can and he will do what we have asked him to do. If we're in corporate prayer, the same thing. Because if we're all in agreement, one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. You see what I'm talking about. But if you're one-on-one with him, he hears you. He hears your heart reaching out to him. And he knows when you're in faith or not. See, we got a key on getting our faith built up. And how does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. On Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, he said, Lord God, behold. Because he was asked the question. So Jeremiah said, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. So he answered the question. There is nothing too hard for you, Lord. He knew it. And remember, God is for you. Amen. God is not against you. Amen. Psalms 118, verse 6. says, "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?" What can anyone do to me? Wow. So when you walk into a room, no, you got all kinds of power when you walk in that room. And when you let that power go, people will be drawn to you. Because there'll be a lot of them in that room that will stop cussing. You will listen to the language stop when you let your light shine, you walk into that room. Yeah. But then you still have those ones around there that won't quit. They'll intensify. And every time they're saying something, you, "Oh, yeah, well, blah, 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 blah." You say, "Oh, bless God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus." You start saying that and you'll shut him up too. Yeah. Hallelujah. Come on. You got more power in you generating when you walk into a room. Especially when you got a bunch of heathens in there. Let your light shine. Hallelujah. They all need to hear the gospel. Say this. Say, "God is for me. Who would dare come against me? My Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. What can anyone dare to me?" Nothing. There's nothing too hard for God. And since that is true, we may as well put all our unwavering faith in what he can do. So that sounds like we should be bold and give God something to do by having faith in his ability to fulfill his word. Every answer to everything we come in, any situation, anything we come up against, it's covered in the Word. It's got it. God's got it. Even when it comes into all the curses that are in the law. See, we've been redeemed from them. You say, they're all in there? Well, you get on to the very end, and it says, "For the ones that are known or even unknown to man," right, we've been redeemed from. Hallelujah. God wants to work with us. All we have to do is give him something to do, and then what? Watch what he will do. Our faith in him and his word is the catalyst for miracles. Okay? Spiritually, physically, financially, and any other area. See, there's nothing impossible with our God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." And I got to stop right there because I got to tell you a little story about that. My grandson, he went and the money he got for Christmas and everything else he saved up. He got his own custom-made baseball glove. And let me see if I can do this. Let me see if I can do this real quick here. Jack used his Christmas money to make a custom glove today. He told his father, Joe, "I should put a scripture on there." He looked up verses and chose Luke 1:37. That brought tears to Teresa and I's eyes when they sent us that. Because see, we keep praying, and you got to keep praying for your grandkids. Because sometimes when you don't see them and you don't know and they're involved in so many other activities. But see, they were raised in the church. They have a good foundation. And they're still going to church. You know. But I thought it was pretty cool. It needs a scripture on it, Dad. And then he chose his own. As you see, it's a pretty blue and white one, Joe. Now, Tim. But, get back on this. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, Jesus tells us, with God, all things are possible. And in Mark 9, 23, Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And in John 11, 40, Jesus says, did I not say to you that if you would believe, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Come on. I believe. Come on. Say, I believe.
I believe.
I believe.
Lord,
help my unbelief.
Help my unbelief.
Hallelujah. There's nothing too hard for God.
No.
Nothing. Hallelujah. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we find a lady in some major problems here. And it says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? What shall I do for you? See, Elisha was God's man on the scene at that time. And it could be that he was just saying, let's give God something to do here. For you see, if we want something, you've got to say something. It's not like you have to speak so that God knows what you want. You have to speak so that you confirm what you want.
Yeah.
You hear me? Call those things that be not as though they were. Come on. His word works. To get in touch with God, you must use his language. The language of God is faith. It's faith. I know a lot of you guys were thinking a lot of other things, but it's faith. And you know, it's best illustrated by Jesus himself, by what he says in John 14, 14. When he is challenging believers, he's challenging us with this powerful word right here. This is what he, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's pretty powerful. That's the language of faith. That's what he's challenging the believers. He's challenging us that today. That scripture, too, if you look at it in the Amplified Classic, brings out just a little bit more so you understand where you fit. See, if you ask me anything, he says, in my name, as my representative, see, remember, you are his representative. You're born again, spirit-filled. Come on. He says, I will do it. I will do it. A representative is a person chosen or appointed to act or speak for another. When you got born again, he chose you. You know, he knows everybody's life lined up. He knows every opportunity that is going to come our way. He knew when there was going to be that time when you had to make the decision and ask Jesus into your heart.
Yeah.
And he watched it. He knew that there were going to be, and he wanted to go this way, but sometimes but he just slowly keeps us, bringing us back in. He doesn't want none of us to go to hell. I mean, you've prayed. I've prayed and prayed and prayed for family. When my uncle, who came up here when my dad passed away to be part of this service, my Uncle Dan, Reverend Daniel Rinker, he sat in the back. He was sitting next to Pastor Brandon. And he asked Pastor this question. He says, "Have you ever had to do this?" He says, "What's that?" He says, "I've never had to do a service for someone who was not saved." Pastor started laughing. My uncle looked at him. He says, Pastor says, "Don't worry. I led him to the Lord." Yeah. My uncle just fell down because he said he has been praying for the families, for all the family members. He didn't want to see any of the family members lost. On his knees, he used to pray every night. My grandfather did the same thing. Yeah. On his knees on the side of their bed. When I used to stay there as a kid, I could hear him and Nana out there praying. I'm in the other bedroom and I could hear them just praying. And he was just talking to Jesus. But every one of our family members has come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. What I'm trying to tell you is do not give up. You keep praying. You keep praying and trusting God. And those in your family you're praying for, they will change. They will turn. They will repent. I'm telling you. Because once Jesus enters in and they truly accept Jesus, they change. Yes. Look at every one of us. We changed. Amen. We changed. I stand here as a big change before y'all. You know? I know where Timmy came from. I know where a lot of you came from. But see, I can't even remember. I laugh about some of the things, but I can't remember that. I remember the things since I've got saved and being involved with all of you and getting to know you. Hallelujah. I consider myself blessed. Hallelujah. All right. Now, in that short sentence, it's so small. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, really, those are big words from the Lord, and they're for all of us. But see, our natural mind immediately wants to pull back with a big, what? What? But see, our spirit of faith inside of a believer does something totally opposite. It causes us to just agree. The spirit of faith doesn't pull back. Oh, no. See, it surges forward, and it surges forward with boldness. Faith accepts God's word as the last and final word and doesn't second guess it, Shirley. Faith believes. And in that believing, we give God something to do. And we put ourselves in a position of being led by Him. We give ourselves the gift of watching Him work in our lives. What a great way to live, right? Is it 2 Corinthians 5:7? For we live by faith and not by sight. When talking to God, I'm telling you, think big. Think big. And speak big. Tell me, is He good?
He's good.
Tell me, is He God?
He's God.
He's good God Almighty. Yes, He is. See, God is so good. And He's good all the time for us. See, God wants us to give Him those big assignments. He loves them. He loves them. Why? He loves them because He wants us to experience overflow. He wants us living in the overflow. See, He's a gracious God. That's why he's given us faith. Gave us all that measure of faith. And Mark 11:22, what's Jesus say? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. So why be stingy with faith in his ability? Let that sink in for a minute. So why be stingy with faith in his ability? Take you out of the equation. Watch what God can do. To receive his grace, his generosity, we have to be generous with our faith in him. See, that's how we work with him. That's how we give God a job or an assignment. Faith is the resource, power, and the ability to receive the supernatural ability of God in our spirit, soul, body, and all the circumstances of life. Refuse limited thinking, limited faith, and limited words, but choose your words wisely. If God says something, believe it and be a receiver. Don't be putting a cap on the goodness of God. And how do we do that? With limited thinking, limited faith, and limited words. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, says, therefore, all you sitting here from Dallas Equipa Christian Assembly, be imitators of God as dear children. And walk in love. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. What's love got to do with it?
Everything.
And this verse, though, I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul uses children. Children, that's what he uses there as an example. Children are born believers. Did you hear me? Children are born believers. And until they are taught to doubt, they're open-hearted and open-minded. Doubt should never be taught to anyone. And especially should not be self-taught. A lot of you are good teachers of doubt to yourselves. Stop it. That's what God wants you to stop it. Oh, you can. You can. Get out the word. See, you hold back on what you're saying, brother, but you get into the word, and guess what you'll be saying? You'll be saying the word. And that's what we got to say. We got to say the word. We got to speak the word. The devil don't quit.
No, he doesn't.
I'm going to tell you, he's out there 24/7. He is out there. That's why we have to be in the word. Amen. Our believing affects our thinking. Our thinking affects our speaking. Our speaking will affect are receiving.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. I don't care what doubtful mindset any of us learned along the way in life. If we want to receive from God, we have to let old ways pass away from us. We have to let them pass away and realize that when we accepted Christ, we became a new creation. Yeah. Old things have passed away. All things are made new. Let them pass away. So we're our new creation with a new feature in us. You know what that feature is? Faith. Faith. Make a habit of exercising your faith. And every time doubt tries to enter, just ask yourself, is anything too hard for the Lord? And answer with a real loud, no. There you go. Let me give you 7 ways to exercise faith. Real quick. Number 1, believe in God's word. Number 2, obey God's word. Number 3, trust in God's goodness. 4, pray God's word. 5, meditate on the promises and the miracles of God's word. Combat doubt. Number 6, combat doubt with faith. 7, surrender your mind to God. 8, our blessing is limited by our capacity to receive. We know how to give God's way, but many do not know how to receive God's way. It's called harvest, and for a reason. And that's because it's not just about the sowing. Reaping a harvest in the natural is work. There's labor involved. In the spirit, there is also labor, but it's spiritual labor. It's about thinking and speaking what we believe in our heart. It's consistency of belief. It is consistency of belief. It's a refusal to be double-minded, but instead to focus on consistency, speaking big and thinking big. Remember, in consistency lies the power. Okay? Don't give God an assignment and then take it back with every other word you say. Well, how many of you? I've been there. I've learned to watch, though, real quick. Sometimes I want to answer, and I got to go. I mean, my thoughts are going, I got to shut my mouth. Now, I know he's reading my thoughts. What he's saying, just don't say it. Don't say it. Because you don't want the enemy to hear it. See? Be aware when doubt arises. Okay? Start noticing your thoughts. When doubtful thoughts come to try to steal your faith, throw them out immediately. Throw them out immediately. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Casting down arguments. Casting down wild imaginations in your head. Yeah. And everything that tries to exalt itself over the name of Jesus. Come on. And bring every thought into captivity. Casting down whatever imagination rises and bring every thought into captivity. I like what it says that. But it says, that means that we have a chance to do something about it. Thoughts that are not well-pleasing to God before they enter into our heart and become part of us, we can do something about it. See, because in Proverbs 23:7 it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What we think about is crucial to who we are. Regardless of whether something looks doable or not, if God's word says we can do something, then we can. If God's word says we can have whatever we say, then we can. And another thing is, don't let critical people steal your joy or sideline your faith. There's always somebody saying that can't be done or that's crazy. Well, I'm telling you, don't pay attention to them. Remember, it's peoples, and peoples is peoples. When God promises something in His Word, He means what He says. In Romans chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. Probably all of you have seen this one, you've heard many times. Then we're talking about Abraham and Sarah here again. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. And being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, God was able also to perform it. What he's promised in his word, he will perform it. Are you speaking what's in his word? Because if you're speaking contrary to the word, you're not going to get that healing. You're not going to see the miracles you're looking for. You're not going to get to a financial curable state where you're at, so you don't have to worry about things. Because once you do, once you meditate the scriptures that we talked about earlier, once you meditate that scripture, my God, He's your God. My God will supply all my needs. And the more you say that, the more you'll be so calm. You won't even think about your needs no more. You'll be able to focus on your wants. You'll be able to focus on getting a new Toyota or a new Honda and not worrying about the payments, because you know God's going to take you through and get you your want. What'd you say about money? Okay. Dave? All this comes into effect here. Hallelujah. Abraham believed God, and he considered not. He staggered not. And he was fully persuaded that what God said would come to pass. And it did. Because he said, when I come back here in a year, you're going to have that child. It's going to be right there. Yeah. Who had the last laugh there? God was laughing. Sarah was probably saying, oh my. Hallelujah. Abraham wasn't perfect, but he was persistent in faith. Persistency works. Why not give it a try? A lot of us are persistent for the wrong things. Get your focus back on God. And the more you get into His Word, the more you'll be able to understand where your priority is and what you want to be persistent in believing for. Be on guard, though. There's always somebody saying, that can't be done, or that's crazy. Don't pay attention to them. Make up your mind not to let critical people steal your joy or sideline your faith. Believe above people's objections. You believe above them. See, because our faithful God will overrule those objections. Amen. Remember, the courtroom? Okay. And let me remind you, though, peoples is peoples. You got them everywhere. You got them in the body of Christ. And that's why we got to make sure we let them know when they're speaking. You might not, they're talking, you wait, they're done, and you say, did you really want to say that? And yeah, and they'll say, what are you talking about? And when you tell them what they just said, they went, did I say that? Yeah, it was all good, and then you threw this in there, and you just wiped all that out, and now you tried to give away this little part. Take this part out, put it all together, and it makes a complete good sentence when it involves God's Word. But, okay, Teddy's giving me the signal. Psalm 118, verse 6, New Living Translation, though. And this is why I picked this new. It says, the Lord is with me, so I will not fear. What can mere people do to me? Yeah. What can mere people do to me? Nothing is impossible with God. And nothing is too hard for God. And that's the truth, no matter what anybody else says. Yeah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you.